Hello and welcome to The Studio, a podcast where we discuss fitness, health, wellness, and so much more. I'm your host, Belle Moody. Let's get into it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Studio. My name is Belle Moody. I will be your host today. Actually, today I have a co-host. Johnette Sheridan is here with me again. And we're talking about stress. Happy to have you. Thank you for being here, Johnette.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. This is nice being here again.
I know. I love it. We should make this our Monday routine.
I like that.
Okay. So without further ado, Johnette is the one that came up with the idea for this episode today, and tell us a little bit about how that came about, Johnette.
Yeah, okay. I've always been a busy person, I think, as I've gotten like older and on my own with work and life and stuff. I've always been busy in it. And I have a tendency, maybe some of you listeners will relate to this, but I have a tendency to try to pack more into time than is physically possible. And that causes me to run late sometimes, not because I don't care, because I actually feel like a piece of ground garbage when I am late to something. I actually do. So, you know, I'm trying to fit all this, whatever I'm doing in, thinking like, oh, I can do this. And so I feel like sometimes I do have a good gauge on, oh, this is going to take this long, but other times I don't have a good gauge, and or something takes longer for whatever reason, and so then I'm late, and that, you know, causes me to then, you know, the last 5 minutes of me trying to get out the door, I look like a cartoon character with the smoke, you know, running out from behind its feet, because I'm running back and forth and panicking trying to get all these things, and I'm mad at myself while I'm doing this, because like I know I had to get these things done before I could leave, and so I'm rushing around, and then I'm mad at myself for not planning appropriately. And then once I get in my car, I know that my what's that phrase, my lateness or something is not someone else's emergency. What is that phrase? My blank is not someone else's emergency. My problem, my issue is not, that's not the phrase, but there's that phrase.
Yes, that phrase.
I understand that, because I didn't plan it correctly. It's not anybody else's fault. So, but when I get on the road, it is often that I experience extreme road rage. Like it could be scary. And I'm glad 90% of the time I'm by myself in my car, because I don't want other humans to experience what I'm experiencing, or to experience me in that state. And so because I plan too much and I'm running late, then there I am heading to whatever I had to, you know, be responsible for, job, whatever. And I'm trying to hurry, but like follow the law and not speed. So I can't get any more tickets. You know, I don't want any more tickets. And then, but I'm just hoping and praying that I'll have a little bit of relief, maybe by a red light or something, or if someone, you know, gets out of the way, right, just at the right moment.
Yeah.
But often that doesn't happen, you know, because people are on your schedule. They don't have your timeline on their mind, you know, so I get so angry when people make silly decisions that affect my lateness more. And so then that just causes me to spiral. So then I'm mad that I'm late. I'm embarrassed that I'm late. And then I'm frustrated in the moment why these people aren't acting how I want them to act. But at the same time, I have a good perspective of like, I understand this is not their deal and it is me. So I'm aware of like the chaos that I'm causing for myself. I understand that. And so, but then I feel bad that I'm feeling this way and acting this way. And so it is like just a spiral of like a cloud. Yeah. And then sometimes I would say at least once a road rage circumstance, I in the moment, in the middle of it, I have a pause where I'm like, Johnette, you have to calm down. And so I try to take a couple of beats, but then I can't help it because I'm still experiencing that high. And I get so angry. And so, you know, that I wouldn't say every single day this is me, but I mean, I would say it's several times a week this may happen. And I was thinking about this of like, good grief, what am I doing to myself? How is this actually affecting me? And maybe knowing these answers would help me to chill in that instance and be able to maybe help me plan better or plan accordingly. So then I asked Belle, I was like, what is happening when this is going down? Like, what am I doing to myself? What am I causing myself harm? You know, blah, blah, blah. So there's that.
Okay. So are you ready for the answer?
Yes. I mean, I know it's bad. I bet it's so bad.
So, yes, it is causing you physical harm to an extent, especially if this is like an ongoing chronic thing. And I know it's not every day, but if it's every week that you're having these bouts of, you know, do you think, are you a like, what's the word I'm looking for? A chronically on time person or worried about being, does that like, are you a perfectionist? Is the question I'm trying to ask.
The thing is like, I want to portray at all times that I have my ish together and that I am a professional human when it comes to work or something that I am in charge of.
Yes.
And if I am late, then to me, that means I am not professional and I am not on top of my game. And so I feel like I'm not a every time I'm late person, but I feel like it's sometimes I do a really great job with certain things, but then other times I don't know what it is. It's like half and half, 60-40 maybe that I, if it's something that maybe I have to do regularly, sometimes I can try to fit in more and more and more before I go. And so, because I'm just used to doing that same thing of whatever I'm about to do. So I like, okay, I know I can get there in this much time, but I'm not thinking about all this other stuff I'm adding to my plate before I leave, you know? And at my previous job, they even gave me a, we do like Dundee Awards. We would do Dundee Awards, like for kind of like superlatives at the end of every year.
My
last one was, like I plan my life down to the minute kind of thing. Cause I knew like it would take me 7 minutes to get from this job to that job. And so I would have to leave by this minute to get there on time, but it's like on time, not early. Cause I grew up, if you're on time, you're late. If you're early, you're on time. I grew up with that with my dance company, but I don't always follow that guideline.
Yes. Okay. So I think probably the start of what like fuels that I don't, and see, like, you're not an angry person in the slightest. So like me thinking of you being in the car or having road rage is hard for me to picture.
That's bad.
And so I think that it's really, it's not necessarily coming from, I think it's more so coming from the anxiety of being somewhere on time and that professionalism that's so deeply rooted. And that's kind of like starting it. And then when you're on the road, it just spirals out of control. And also if this is a thing that's happening like all the time, your body, or if it's happening every single week, your body will like fall into that pattern so easily. Especially, do you find that it happens in certain places more than others, like in the road or on certain, I guess, routes that you're taking, like say from your house to the studio? Does that seem to be a common like trigger for you? Or
I think it's when I, because I live outside of the main city of Starkville, Mississippi, and so when I hit the main intersection, and then that starts a there are so many traffic lights. I think I counted, there's like 13 from my house to getting to the studio if I go on the main street, like the main highway through town. And if I hit them at the wrong time, then I am going to hit Every single one of them. and I think it's like, if that first one, then like I'm done.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, yes.
So yeah, I think, now from a physical standpoint of what that's doing to you. So there's probably some deeply rooted anxieties there of, not doing enough or being enough related to being somewhere on time. And I think that's also probably what's happening beforehand that's even kind of putting you late is like, I feel anxious not attempting to get all of this done, even though I know that if I left, you know, maybe 5 minutes earlier, even if I did hit those lights, I'm going to be okay, so I don't have to stress about it. But I don't feel like I'm being productive enough if I'm not pushing myself to the minute of every hour, you know, of the day.
So, I think you just hit the nail on the head right there, Belle.
I am very similar in that way. I never feel like I can just, it's either one or the other for me. It's like, I will procrastinate something so much and I will just like rot on the couch to avoid doing anything. But then, you know, when I could be doing just like very gentle activities on time at a, you know, to put myself at a better place, but it's like one or the other. I have to be at full fourth gear, you know, or whatever. So, now physically, so, okay, wait, pause. With those anxieties, that's what's starting it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, has been going on for years. But then, so that's something that has to be kind of like acknowledged. Also, let me just give a disclaimer. I am not a psychologist. Psychiatrist, therapist, anything like that. But I have been in therapy, psychology, counseling off and on throughout my whole life. And so anything I'm sharing right now is not medical or psychiatric advice. It's just stuff that tools that people have, that my therapist and counselors have given me over the years. But with something that's so like deeply rooted is a part of who you are. And then that takes some own work in itself to be like, okay, I am not a faulty person by taking a couple extra minutes to get ready and leave to go and, you know, and put this work on pause. There will always be, I can, you know, figure this out at a later time, but because it's so, strongly related, I'm sure, to who you feel as a, how you feel as a person, that's probably going to take some like time and acknowledgement to be okay with, you know? Mm-hmm. So then when that is happening, the stress, the anger, the anxiety of people driving slow, hitting a light, whatever. And even just that, like, you might be running at like a low level of anxiety about that kind of stuff probably most of the time. So that in itself is causing you lots of physical effects. So from a physical standpoint, when we are at that low level of anxiety, stress, and even anger, what happens is our sympathetic nervous system gets ramped up because it's thinking, even if you're not cognitively perceiving that you're anxious about something or you feel like you're not doing enough or stressing of some sort, if you're not cognitively aware that it's happening, but it is happening in the background, your body is like, where's the threat? Why do I feel threatened right now? So then it starts looking for what the reason is. So this is why your mind runs and runs and runs and can't settle down. So then it starts turning on all of your physical systems to help you get through whatever this thing is. So it ramps up your heart rate, it ramps up your blood pressure, it tenses, tightens your muscles, gets them ready to go for whatever it is you need to. And then it turns off our pretty much everything like in our abdomen. So it turns off our hormone systems, it turns off our digestive systems, turns off our all of those, the rest and digest, the things that happen when we're sleeping, when we're calm, but they function best under those circumstances. So this ends up causing all, it can cause digestive problems. It can cause high blood pressure. It can cause high cholesterol, especially if it's going for a long period of time. Winston and Walter.
Man, they love to show up at the perfect time, don't they? Okay. I mean, not show up. They're here always, but you know what I'm saying. Okay.
It also can cause an increase of secretion in adrenaline. So then now we've got our adrenal gland working all the time. When it's not supposed to work all the time, it is supposed to work rarely, you know. So anyway, then that just causes this whole imbalance between our hormone systems, our literally our entire body just becomes out of whack. Then we take up a different breathing pattern. We hold tension in certain areas through our body. It is hugely, hugely, hugely devastating. Now, how do we rectify that or attempt to resolve that? So all of these things are happening that are stressful. And when I see people, primarily one of their main contributing factors to their symptoms is stress, and it's usually related to work. So with work being the stressor, if you're not in a position where you can change it, you know, like you need this job to support your family, whatever it might be, and you don't have a different, you don't have another option, how do we manage if we can't change our stressor or get rid of the stressor, work being work, then how do we manage and cope with it? So my question for you is, do you feel like the stress may be related with time and getting things done within the day started with dance as a child, or do you think it started more in your, like, when you got into adult, like, workplace scenarios?
I mean, like, I was always a dancer growing up, like throughout all grade school, and I mean, we had to be ready to go, like, the minute, you know, class started. And then I think, like, outside of class, I had, like, just school stuff and, you know, regular. So I don't think it was the same then. So it must have started once I got to college and just tried to keep adding more and more, you know, things to my plate. Because for a while there, now I'm much better at it, but for a while there, I'm not perfect at it now, but it's hard for me to say no to things.
Yeah.
So I would constantly add on more and load myself up more and more and more and more. But now I'm a little bit better about saying no or setting a boundary or something like that. But
yeah,
I think I just got really deep ingrained when I started college at some point.
Yeah. So with that, you know, college, working there, having all of these responsibilities, you know, how do we adjust to, if we can't change the stressors? Now, there's definitely some modifiable factors from a road rage standpoint. Also, I say this because I am also the same way. Will was riding with me the other day, and he was like, "Are you angry like this every single time you drive?" Because I cannot handle when somebody is driving slow. I want to get to my place, you know, and I don't speed. I just want to go the speed limit and get there. I know. Sure. Anyway, he was like, this is crazy that this bothers you. Or anyway, so I say this coming from a very similar place as you. But with road rage situations, like, I know majority of my issue could be resolved if I left 2 minutes earlier, 2 to 3 minutes earlier than I do, to give me that wiggle room for traffic or, you know, whatever, somebody driving slow, whatever it might be. So if I do that, I modify that, and I'm still having, or if I know that's my issue, but I don't feel okay with cutting my schedule back a little bit, like before, or managing my time to where I'm not including all of these things before I need to leave, and if I'm just a little bit more intentional with my time and not rushing and trying to include so much in my to-do list, then if that doesn't change, then the other is not going to be able to happen. So anyway, so there's some modifiable factors there that could change. But say we're talking about stress from a workplace situation, a chronically stressful workplace. How do we cope with that in order to get our sympathetic nervous system turned off? And do you have like a, I guess, workplace stress scenario that you experienced in the past that was never, like, you knew you could not get rid of? It was something you just had to encounter every day. I'm putting you just on the spot.
Just like a, like something that I just would always have every single day kind of thing.
Yes. Something that was just like, you're not your favorite, something that caused you stress at work that was unavoidable. Maybe it was a boss interacting with someone in particular. Maybe, let's see.
Sure. Yeah. I think, my previous employers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Just anytime I had to work or talk or deal with them directly.
Mm-hmm. So yes. Probably, maybe related to, like, maybe there was some pressure there or whatever it might be. So if that's the case, and that's actually I've talked with a lot of people who that exact same thing with their, like, superiors, interacting with them mm-hmm. has been extremely stressful, which that's a whole issue in itself, because superiors, I think, you can be respectful too, but they also shouldn't be intimidating to the point that they're stressing you out, you know?
Sure.
So yeah, that's a whole other thing. But with people, with patients I've talked to before, a tool that I've given them, and this was from, I heard this from a pelvic PT at one of my clinicals. She did this to protect herself from other people's traumas when interacting with them and hearing their stories. But it is so useful in situations like this. If you, so say, okay, let's say that person is me, Johnette. I'm stressing you out.
Okay.
And you have to interact with me every single day. And, every time that we have to talk, your blood pressure, you feel it going up. You feel the tension in your head, maybe a headache starting. Maybe you feel a headache after the fact, after you talk with me, whatever it might be. What you can do is visualize that you are totally protected from any words, any interaction that we're having together. The particular visualization that this person told me about is that she thinks that her ears, inside her ears and going through her body, are like a tunnel in an aquarium of glass. And so anything that this person, stressful person, is telling you, or that interaction in general, is not permeating any part of your body. It's going through the glass and all the way out. It has no physical effect on you. It does not have to hang out with you for longer than that interaction was. And I've had particularly one patient that did this with a workplace person, and she said that it helped her tremendously. Just by thinking that, like, it does not, this person does not have to have a physical effect on my body, because I'm protected. I have this glass that it's just going to go right through and go back out. So,
okay. That's a lovely visual to think about.
Isn't it? Yeah. I am kind of I'm afraid of aquariums. So, I think Wait, about
have you ever aquarium? Told you
that before? Yeah.
No.
I am.
Wait. A small aquarium, like a 2-foot by 2-foot aquarium.
Those are okay. It's like the one at Bass Pro. Ugh, makes me nauseous. Yeah.
Okay, so there's a huge one in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Have you ever been to that one?
Yes, I have. And full-blown panic attack. I was a child, though.
So, I mean, you're like, is it the thought of, like, what could happen if the glass broke? Is that what something you're thinking about? Or, like, just that they're in there? Or, like,
I don't really know. It is something, like, so visceral when I am looking underwater. It makes me feel nauseous. It makes me feel, like, super. It's the craziest thing. So, for the longest time, this is so funny. I was actually telling After Bounce, since there was no yoga, we were all talking afterwards. And we were talking about this very exact same thing. Okay. When I was younger, I thought for forever that my fear of aquariums came from a dream that I had as a child. And I remember it. I was probably like, I don't know, 7, maybe. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was scuba diving with the Spy Kids from that movie. And you know, in Finding Nemo, where it's the big, like, blue, open, deep,
yes,
the drop off or whatever. So we were like swimming through there, and we go down to the bottom, and there's this place where we can hook up our oxygen tanks and then it refill, and then, you know, keep swimming. And so Spy Girl hooks in, fills up her tank, and then swims off. And then Spy Boy hooks in his tank, then swims off. And then it's my turn. I hook in and my tank just keeps going down. It's like, it's not filling up, and I'm stuck there looking out at the blue, at the blue water. And then I woke up. Yes.
No. Yes.
So
no.
So I thought that was why I was afraid of looking. And it's not. And what's crazy too is it's not just aquariums. It's like I don't like looking underwater at all. I love swimming in the ocean. I love swimming in pools, but I don't really want to wear goggles and look under. And like I cannot handle snorkeling. It gives me that same, like, I feel like I'm going to throw up type. Yeah. And then, so recently, like maybe 2 years ago, me and Will were at my parents' house, and somehow we got to talking about it. And my mom was like, oh, I know why you're afraid of aquariums. And I was like, what? I thought it was because of this dream. And she was like, no, you. So I guess it was maybe the Atlanta Aquarium or the Chattanooga. I don't remember exactly which one. But my dad had signed up to do like the scuba diving in the aquarium you could do. Whoa. And like wave at your family from in the glass. And my mom said I like lost my mind when I saw him and realized that it was him in the water with the fish.
Oh my God.
And I have no memory of that at all. So I think I repressed that.
Whoa. Okay.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's big.
So very weird. Okay. Yeah. I know I probably need to do some like exposure therapy. Like I probably need to go to an aquarium and see if but I just can't do it.
Okay.
I'll get there one day.
Yeah. We'll take it one step at a time. Okay.
So, so yeah.
Okay.
That's some. Back to the stress though. So from a like chronic standpoint, if that is happening all the time, these are the things that it can lead to. And this is just some. It could lead to other problems. It can lead to digestive problems, because if chronically you're not getting enough blood flow to the digestive system because your digestive system's nervous system is turned off, because your fight or flight nervous system is turned on all the time, then we end up with digestive problems. We can also end up with muscle tension and pain. Same exact reason. If the fight or flight nervous system is on all the time, then the muscles aren't functioning like they should. They get imbalanced. They don't, they're exhausted because they're firing on all cylinders all the time. And then we can also end up with heart disease, can cause wear and tear to the heart, prolonged anger, stress, can cause like different types of myopathies, and then can cause sleep problems, weight gain, and the weight gain is due to the imbalance in the cortisol and adrenaline and all, so affecting the endocrine system. And then memory and concentration problems and even headaches. Now, this is not, that is not an extensive list. It can harm so much more than just that. But yeah. So, Johnette, we got a you and me birth.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder if, you know, my digestive issues in the last year and a half have this to thank.
Potentially, for sure. Could have had a huge, well, and if it's not the sole purpose, it could be
contributing factor.
Yeah, for sure. Especially because you make such good choices, you know, you make good choices all around, but also really from a diet standpoint, with what you eat. Okay. So, yeah.
So then how do I, what can I do on a regular basis to like counteract the damage that I've caused, or then also help me to prevent it even in the moment, or like just what can I do regularly just to help, period, you know?
The number one thing that you can do on a daily basis, but also in the moment when you're in stressful situations, is diaphragmatic breathing. It is where you're breathing from your belly rather than your chest. And this activates, if we start breathing from our diaphragm, it starts activating the parasympathetic nervous system, which is going to bring everything down and more balanced and turn on those necessary systems, send blood flow to the digestive system, send blood flow to the endocrine system, all of those things. So one thing that one of my therapists told me one time is with diaphragmatic breathing, if you have to do it every day, you don't have to do it every day to see benefits, but if you do it every day, then you're going to be able to access it easier and feel the benefits faster when you're in those stressful, angry, sad, whatever situations. It'll kick in. Your body's going to recognize it a lot easier and be able to get you down into a better resting state quicker if you're doing it every day. So,
okay.
So, my recommendation to you would be to start a deep breathing routine. When I'm working with patients, I give them it very individualized. It's very different between each person. You know, one person could have this type of routine, one person could have this, but there's one thing I get every single person to do, and it's that, and it's deep breathing every day. And I'll say you can do it for 3 to 5 minutes a day and set a timer and do it that way, or just do it until you fall asleep.
So if I'm doing it with a timer, can be whatever time of the day, right?
Yes.
I'm just like sitting somewhere or lying down somewhere and then just trying to clear my mind while I'm doing that kind of thing.
Okay. I would recommend doing it in in multiple positions. So like if you start by doing it at night, just to get the hang of it, laying on your back, then you start implementing it during the day, maybe 3 minutes in the middle of the workday or whatever to, you know, just calm things down. But then you're sitting. So that's a great thing to do. And then maybe also do it in standing, because our life stressors are going to come at us in all types of different situations. You know, we might not always be laying down. So if you're doing the breathing while standing, if that's how you interact with a boss, or if that's how, you know, whatever, in sitting, your body is going to recognize it, be able to access it easier in that way. So I would recommend to do it in multiple different positions and set a timer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can do that.
Yes. And then there's a video that we have on our Instagram that I made a long time ago. I'll post the link to it in our show notes of how to diaphragmatically breathe. If you're interested in learning, but really, if you just try to breathe with your belly over your chest, try and keep your chest as still as possible as you breathe, then you're going to be in the right track. So on the right track.
Okay. But, and then like, I have a silly question.
I guarantee you it's not silly.
Okay.
It's probably
what great. What is the difference in meditating and deep breathing like this?
Mm-hmm. Meditating / visualization exercises are really great techniques to kind of deepen your breath work. The breath work is more the physical aspect of it that's going to bring the heart rate down, calm the muscles, start activating blood flow to those areas that we need it. But then when you pair in visualization, that's really what helps kind of calm the mind.
So you're not necessarily deep breathing while you meditate.
True. You don't have to. It depends on the type, I think, or depends on how, you know, your meditation is. I have done meditation practices before where I'm just trying to be as still as possible, and then maybe deepen the breath. But so it just depends. Also, there's so much, like, there's a lot of meditation, like, I think, what's the word I'm looking for? Areas of thought. I don't know that much about those. There's lots of different things in yoga with meditation. There's a tapping meditation that I love that has helped me through many a stressful situation before. It's called EFT, I think. Have you ever done tapping meditation, Sonnet?
No, I mean, I saw an Instagram ad for it and I watched it a couple of times, but that's it.
Yeah.
I tap my face creams on sometimes.
Oh,
like it
yes.
says in the instructions, gently tap on your face. So I do that.
I love it. Well, the tapping like meditations are, they're kind of guided. They are guided. Somebody is like guiding you through things to think about and where to tap on your body. And then also they guide you in some breathing as well, but it's not the like primary focus, but it has really helped me before. I would say PT school was probably one of the most stressful times of my life, and I used it almost every single day in my second year through third year, and it helped me manage my stress that way really well. So
okay,
yeah, I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well if anyone's interested, but it's pretty good. You don't have to do anything like that, but it's a good resource to have.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's fabulous.
That was such a good question. That was not silly at all.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Because the thought of like someone who meditates sounds really nice.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. You know? But maybe I'll just start with 5 minutes a day of deep breathing.
Yeah, that's a great start. From a meditation standpoint, sometimes I will give my patients, like we call it, guided imagery or visualization. And of like things for them to picture, and it kind of puts their mind on that thing versus anything else that's going on. So you can kind of let go of some other stuff go in your life, whatever it might be. And like one I love to give is yarn. A ball of yarn sitting on top of a really high green hill. The weather is great. The ball of yarn is just hanging out. And then a nice little breeze hits the yarn and it starts to roll down pretty slowly, but it unravels all the way. And so by the time the yarn is totally unraveled, you feel more relaxed. Like visualize your body being that same way, letting go as the, anyway. So you could do that with anything. You could think of whatever.
I mean, just listening to you say that, I just started getting really relaxed just now.
There we go. Even, one of my favorite ones I've ever talked with anybody about, this particular patient loved to cook. And so we pictured a cast iron skillet, nice and seasoned, ready to go on the stove, and a big chunk of butter. And as it was at a very gentle low heat, and as it warmed up, the butter would start to melt until it totally covered the pan. And paired with breathing, thinking about the butter melting. So
wow.
Yeah.
I love that.
So anything that like it, and I usually try and do it with what people like or what they can really like resonate with, you know, because if I tell somebody to think about waves on the beach and they don't like the beach, they think about the sand and being uncomfortable and hot, then it doesn't work. So
yeah, man, and it, now I just want some buttered bread.
That, I'm hungry. I'm hungry and I'm craving to knit.
Craving to knit.
So
okay, great.
Okay. Well, so
this is awesome.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm thankful for your idea, and I'm gonna try and take those same things while I'm driving in the car and see if I can be better.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is great. Okay. Well, hopefully some of your listeners out there, if you experience something similar, you can take some of these notes and start practicing them, because that'd be helpful, I imagine.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, Johnette, thank you for the idea. Thank you for joining me.
It was my pleasure.
I'll talk to you today.
Okay. Okay. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Okay, bye. Thank you for joining us at the studio. Please subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. If you're interested in joining us on Studio Stream, working out with us in person, or you want to be on the podcast, head to our website, www.thestudiobarnwellness.com, and follow the links to our schedule and podcast page. I'll talk to you next week.